Well, I'm not sure if you heard the good news, but he's on the throne and no one has taken over. You know, I heard James Brown say he feels good, but I think I feel better. I have better news. I have better news. This is better than a hit record. You know, there was a show on last night. My son was watching The Legacy of Allen Iverson. And for some of us, we forgot his name, but some of us, you hear the name and you remember he played basketball. And they were showing the highlights and the interviews and the lifestyle of this young man. And it was amazing that there was a day he was so celebrated. I mean, he was celebrating where people were chanting his names. And just 10 years later, some of us don't even know who he is. It's faded glory. It's the glory of man. And it only lasts for a short period. But I want you to know the glory of God has been shining before time started and will continue to shine. And he has called all the children of God, all those that receive him, to be in his glory forever. Amen. So I want you to see the glory of God being part of your portion. I want you to see yourself standing and being changed. Scripture says that we are changed from glory to glory. It's God's glory manifesting in our lives, and we recognize it's not the work of a man, but the work of God. Have you looked around at the trees and the flowers? And have you come to the conclusion it wasn't the wisdom of any man that we have what we call spring and life moving forward? When you look at the birds and the bees, you recognize that this is the work of someone who is beyond my capability. This is a master of life, and he created it in such a way where there is detail in the leaf. And if you look at a leaf, there's veins in it, and the shape is unique to that specific tree or that plant. And when you see the flower and it's in bloom, everybody will pay money to get the flower. The flower doesn't have the ability to accomplish everything in its short lifetime, so it has learned to cooperate with the bee. It has learned to cooperate, because in order to really fulfill this life of glory, we're going to have to learn to cooperate. And so for you, with your destiny and purpose, I believe that everybody that hears me today, you have purpose and destiny in the God who created all things. When he made you, God made you. Your parents didn't make you. They had you. God made you. And when you understand the God that made you with purpose. And your purpose was set before the tree was planted. Your purpose was set before the bird flew. And so as I look around, everything is letting me know that I'm called to purpose. And when I find my purpose, I find what God has for me to do. Have you found your purpose? Have you found your purpose? It's funny what we do with our time when we don't know what our purpose is. It's funny what we fill it with. But Jesus, at the age of 12, missing for 3 days, they couldn't find him in the caravan back to Nazareth. They said, "Where is Jesus, the 12-year-old boy?" And so they had to walk all the way back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple speaking with the high priest. And when they found him, they said, "Why would you leave us? Why would you treat us like this? We were so worried." And he said, "Don't you know I'm about my Father's business? Don't you know I'm living in purpose? I'm not just drifting and wandering. I'm not lost. You should know where to find me. You can find me in my Father's house." Amen. Have you found your purpose? Have you found your purpose? Well, if you found your purpose, then you need to stop wandering. Every step is on purpose. Every breath is on purpose. Everything you put your hand to is on purpose. Why put your hand to it if you don't plan for it to be glorifying to God? Don't even put your hand to it. The Bible made a promise to us, the children of God, whatever I put my hand to will prosper. Do you believe that? If you be God's child, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. So careful what you prosper in, because some of it just might not be about your purpose. You might still prosper in it, but is it purpose? Well, praise the Lord to those listening via live stream. I want you to know there's some great things happening with this ministry in Eastern Washington. And it's happening in Eastern Washington, but all of us are part of it. There's some wonderful things happening in Lake Roosevelt, Davenport area. There is a place that is being built right now which you are all invited to, and I hope that you will rest there one day. I hope you will go enjoy the beauty of nature out there. I hope you'll go enjoy the haven of rest that's being built so that we can go get away in the presence of God and have a retreat place to go to have conferences out there, and to reach the lost out in that place and encourage those that are living. There's also the plan you heard, we're going to Wenatchee. We've had a heart for Wenatchee for several years, but I keep hearing reports about Wenatchee is that there's people dying. There's a real problem with drugs and addiction out there. And it's going to take, the Bible says that it's by the anointing that the yoke of bondage is broken off of the children. And without the anointing, I can strive to try to get from underneath a yoke, but I find myself doing what I wouldn't. I find myself trying with my own labor. I find myself working hard, but only to wake up to do the same thing again. But the Bible says that Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ, he said, "This anointing is upon me to break the yokes of bondage, to open the prison gates." And so we are going to Wenatchee with an anointing and a purpose, and that is to set the captives free. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you about that? Are we with it? Well, I say praise the Lord to our apostle, Jesse and Linda Ringwater, founded this place 22 years ago. And I want you to know something. When you find your purpose, you have something to do every day. You know, you never have to look for stuff to do. When you find purpose, you have something to do. Everything that they do now is connected to purpose. And, you know, a lot of times we look at Apostle, he'll be talking about how God blessed him with his truck, and he loves his truck because it goes over the mountains, and when he gets over to Eastern Washington, he can drive it in the fields. And he loves to call his little white dove, and he wants to make sure she's looking well and has everything she needs and wants. And he talks about how blessed he is. But I want to let you know something about them as far as being blessed and about purpose. How you see them and how blessed they are. You know, they live in a 720 square foot little cabin. Just a small 720 square feet. And when they come here to Tukwila to work the vision and to be about purpose here with us, they have to stay in a room at my house. They don't have another place. So between a 720 square foot little cabin, which some people wouldn't think was their life of luxury, and a room in someone else's house, they walk around like the most blessed people I've ever seen. Why? Because they wake up and they're about purpose every single day. And so when they say they're rich, they're rich. When they say they're rich, they're rich. Are you rich in your purpose? Are you rich? You know, don't get me wrong. I have found out that within the vision, they won't always be in a 720 square foot cabin. But while they're there, they're rejoicing. Because every time they look at the vision of what God is doing and they get to do for God, he knows that they're going to bless him too. But they just put his house first. So they're laying the foundation for his house before they started the foundation for their house. For they will build a house out there. But his foundation must be laid first. Isn't that amazing that you... But sometimes we get it twisted and do it backwards and we try to get our house established and say, once I'm established, then I'll bless you, Lord. You know, that's why it's hard to pay tithes for some of us, because we spend our money and then whatever's left over, we'll see if there's something for you. But it's the establishment of purpose, and tithe is part of purpose. You put it first. God said, give me the first fruit and I'll bless the rest. But this is only a principle and a covenant for the children of Abraham, for those that are blessed like Father Abraham. Are you blessed like Father Abraham? Do you declare the blessings of Father Abraham? Well, then you have to have faith like Father Abraham. And he was a man of purpose. And he did stuff the way God said. Why? Because he was in covenant with God. Raise your hand if you're in this house and you're married. Let me see you. Raise your hand. Everybody see these married people? How do I know you're married? I married you. That's a good one. I guess I can vouch for that. Well, I'm a witness. You're a witness, Pastor. Anybody else? How do I know you're married? Someone said a ring on your finger. I heard some of the ladies say, if I don't see a ring, don't talk about the thing. Listen. If there's no ring, don't talk about where, you know, ooh, baby. If you're not willing to come into covenant, what part do you have with the blessing? That's understandable, isn't it? So many of us want the blessing without the covenant, but I'm telling you, the covenant comes first. Is that right? Without the covenant, you ain't got nothing. I just want you to know that. If you don't got the covenant, you have fading glory. And it might seem fun for a while. But the price you will pay is high. God's a covenant God. Can I grab my phone? I'm not pulling out anything crazy. I'm telling you. I'm reaching into my pocket to grab a phone. Thank you. Yeah, some people reach in their pocket, talking loud at you. You get a little nervous. So if I'm talking loud, God is good. A covenant. What is a covenant? It's an agreement, a contract, an undertaking of commitment and guarantee, a warranty, a pledge, a promise, a bond, an indenture. As a verb, it's to agree, especially by lease, deed, or by legal contract. A legal binding contract. A contract of guarantee, a contract of pledge and promise, an agreement, an engagement, and a warranty. God is a covenant God. And the only reason that any of us can stand here saved is because of covenant. With no covenant, there's no promise. God is a covenant God, and so he comes into covenant with us. And if you aren't sure if you're married, you're probably not. Is that fair? And if you are, you should have a sign. You should have a sign. I went the other day, actually it was during last conference, and we were looking for a space to be able to host our guest speaker for a lunch. And I went to this establishment, and when I was walking out, there was two ladies smoking cigarettes outside. And when I walked by, one girl said, "Ooh, girl, he's fine." And that's just what they said. What do you want me to? The one girl said to the other, "Ooh, girl, he fine." And I thought they were talking about someone else. Until I look back, and all of a sudden, the other friend said, "Girl, he got a ring on his finger." What was she doing? Recognizing the sign. She saw the sign of covenant and immediately took me off that market. My covenant sign took me off of the market. Now, to some people, they see a covenant sign and immediately want to be covenant breakers. They want to go in there and cause problem to covenant. So it actually is almost more of a thrill to find a covenant to break, which is disturbing. Isn't that a disturbing thought that some people would hunt and pray that way? The devil hunts and prays to break covenant. He hunts to break covenant. But I want you to know, as easily as we understand in marriage that there is a covenant and there is a sign of the covenant, I want you to know in God, every covenant he has, he'll have a person in contract with him and he'll have a sign to prove the covenant. Do you know what the sign of the new covenant is? This is an absolute must. In fact, when I've done several weddings, and one of the questions that is posed is, what is going to be your sign of covenant? And standard is, the ring is the sign of our covenant. What is your token or sign of covenant to prove that you are and continue to be married? You ask that question as part of when you're bringing two people into a covenant, and you have somebody to make sure that it's legal and binding and that each party is entering into the covenant with their own agreement, not by force. So slavery is not covenant. Even though there might be laws and rules that keep me in it, slavery is against my will. But praise the Lord that in covenant with Him, it's a free will. And so the first thing He has to do is set us free from slavery so that you can choose Him. Choose covenant. The Bible says as long as you're married to one, you can't marry someone else. But if that person dies, then you're free to marry anybody else you want. And it's good before the Lord. You can get into a new covenant, but it's going to require someone die. That's why we say, until death do us part. You've been there. Some of you have been there. You remember saying that? You know, it's funny how we say it, until death do us part. Good times, bad times, sickness, health, rich, poor, better, worse, till death do us part. But then when we get bad times, we question it. Then when we get a little broke, we question it. Then when we start having challenges, we question it. Is it worth it? But that's why the Bible says count the cost before you enter into covenant. Will you give all you got into covenant, whether it seems good or bad? Because God says it is better to not make a vow than to make a vow and break it. He says it's better, I'd rather you don't make a vow at all than to make a vow and break it. God is a covenant God. Say covenant. Are you in covenant with God? Then you need to know what your covenant is. You need to know the obligations of both sides. You need to know what the sign of it is. You need to know when it happened. You need to know how long it lasts. Well, just so you know, with God, He is the everlasting God. So you're in covenant till death do you part. Well, say hello to forever. I'm just trying to set the foundation. We're going to be talking about covenant. In covenant. You've heard me say it before. Anybody here got a job? Raise your hand. Did you sign a contract? Did you sign your name to something? If you didn't sign your name, you don't really got a job. You're working, and you might be getting something. But legally, if they don't pay you, you're not in covenant. So you can't sue them and say, I was in covenant with them, and I expected this from them. They said they would do this, and they said, well, show me the proof. Where did you guys come into covenant at? You know, one of the things when you're going to buy a house, I love property. I like property. I just think me and property should always get along. I love the idea of people being able to take blueprints and have nothing there and make something there based on imagination that God gives. But one thing I found out in real estate is you have to have a legal binding contract. If I go to buy your house, you have to sign it and I have to assign it. And it has to have all the details of the agreement, timelines, money amounts, and any other disclosures that need to be given. But the contract is not legally binding without earnest money. So even though I'm in contract with you to buy your house, and we sign papers together, if you don't put earnest money, which will be the bond of that agreement until the purchase is finished, then we really don't have a legal deal. And if someone comes offers a better price, I can take it, as mad as you might be, because you did not give me earnest money. And your earnest money is saying, in good earnest, I am buying this, and this is the first portion or part of what I am purchasing. Recently, my brother he's in contract right now to buy a place. And so a check had to hurry up and get brought somewhere because there's other people interested in his place. And if he didn't have the earnest money in, even though both sides agreed and signed papers, if he didn't get that earnest money in by a certain hour, they can accept the offer of someone else, even though they agreed with me. Because the earnest money. You know, then ultimately what happens is when that purchase is complete, I get the keys. And when I get the keys, I have access in and out to a place that are mine. I can open it. I can shut it. I can rest. I can sleep there. I can eat there. I can bring who I want in. Why? Because now I'm in ownership of the covenant of this property. Are you in ownership of the covenant that you have with God? All right. I think the foundation is laid. Are you with me? Yes. I want you to know the covenant. We just, last week, Apostle preached, and praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit moved in this place. And I want you to know why that's so important. It's not just so that it seems exciting, but I want you to know that's the life in God. God is a spirit. And you have to learn that your covenant, how do you be in covenant with the spirit? Can anybody see God today? You see him? Where's he at? How do you see him? How do you recognize him? How do you know where he's at? How do you have any relation? How can you sign the same document he signs? How can you be in any type of a relationship with a God who you don't know or don't see? So praise the Lord, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the flesh so that we could see the expressed image of God and see what it looks like for God to be in the flesh. And in that flesh, he made a covenant through his own blood and then gave us his spirit. We're going to get into it. But I want you to know, God who is unseen is now in covenant with us who stand here in the flesh. But I want you to know the covenant is spiritual. The covenant is spiritual. Your flesh is not going to be part of the eternal covenant. That's why, even though we get saved, you're eventually going to have to put this body in a casket. And just so you know, if I don't get my last request, and I want you to hear me today, don't cremate me. Bury me. Bury me. I have reason for that. Bury me. I heard that one person fell in to the bones of one of the patriarchs in God and came back alive. They were still anointed. I heard that the dead are going to be raised with Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm looking for my new body, but I don't want to be burnt. Fire's not my place. All right. Adam was in covenant with God. Do you remember the covenant he made with Adam? Let's look there quickly. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read 14 to 21. Genesis 3, 14 to 21. We're going to go over five covenants as quickly as I can. So I'm going to go quick. If you're taking notes, I would mark it because I'm going to have to move quickly. And by the way, if you were going to Yale, and you were in class right now, you would take notes. But Yale cannot give you the wisdom in which you're about to get. What are you saying? I'm saying what I'm saying. Genesis 3:14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. I want you to know when they were originally brought into existence, when Adam and Eve were both brought into life, they had purpose. And Adam's job was to bring fruitfulness to the creation and be the ruler over what God made. He was given dominion and authority. And so his job was to help the ground and cultivate it to be fruitful so that the garden would grow in what it is to cover the whole earth. So the whole earth would be covered by the plan and the will of God. Fruitfulness. Imagine being in a garden experience where everything is free and nothing costs. I wonder how much murder would stop if nothing cost anything. If everything was available. What would happen? And so his job was to be the one that stewarded over this purpose of God. But when he was out of the will of God, when he worked against God and what God had said and purposed, now his purpose of working the ground and making it fruitful was only going to come about by the sweat of his brow and the work of his hard labor, where before there was a difference between being one that used your voice and your command and your spirit and things obeyed you. And now you're going to have to use the sweat of your brow and work hard just to make the thing grow, where that wasn't the intention originally in the garden. Eve brought, because out of all of creation, Adam was the only thing in the garden that couldn't be fruitful and multiply. And so because of that, God said, it's not good for this man to be alone. Put him to sleep and raised him up a helpmate. Scripture says, help meet, to help meet the need. And her job, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, was to be a helpmeet side by side with Adam to help with God's purpose. And she gave him the ability to now be fruitful and multiply just like the rest of the garden. But you'll see now, it says that her womb is cursed. Now it's going to be by a pain of labor and by having a husband who is going to rule over your house. You're going to have to learn to deal with that. Praise the Lord. But I want you to know that when they left the life of God, the curse went immediately after their purpose. It went after the ground that the man would work, and it went after the womb of the woman who would bring forth life. I want you to know that the curse will attack your purpose. Sometimes your biggest challenge in life is directing you to your purpose. Sometimes the thing that you hate the worst will be the arrow to your purpose. When you grow up in broken family and you just hate broken family, well, then maybe broken family is trying to direct you to your purpose. But all you're seeing is the curse of the family and not seeing the purpose of the family. But when God brings us back into covenant, he reconnects us to the purpose. Drop down to verse 21. I got to read it quickly. Man, I wish I could go through this slower, but unto Adam also and to his wife, the Lord God made a coat of skins and clothed him. I want you to know the coat of skins was the sign of this new promise. The new promise that, what was the promise? That they were going to live outside of his presence? That now they have yielded themselves to the devil, and that the devil is now going to become their Lord? That God won't be in the presence of sin, and so he had to remove himself from it? And so he gave them something to cover their nakedness, but it was meant to be temporary. So he gave them a coat of skins to cover up, to show that this was only meant to be temporary, that God was working on a solution. What was the solution? I want you to go back to verse 15. He gave us the solution already. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. This is God talking to the devil and telling the devil, I see what you've done. And you've come and you've ruined the covenant I was in with them. So I'm going to make you a new promise. And the coat of skins is going to be the sign of it. Here's my new promise. This woman here, who you got to sin against me by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm going to use the same woman. And I'm going to take a seed that's not from the corrupted seed of Adam, but I'm going to give her a seed. It's called the woman's seed. Does the woman have a seed? Yes. Woman doesn't have a seed, right? Naturally. If she did, she'd get herself pregnant. Wouldn't need a guy. Trust me, life would be easier. Adam had the seed. Adam had the seed. But what God was going to do wasn't going to come through the work of Adam. It was going to come by the seed of God through the woman. And that's why we have the Immaculate Conception. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin. Because God was going to redeem everything lost. And he promised it and made a covenant. And he, even though he sent Adam and Eve out of his presence, he sent them wearing something that they could see God is covering us until this comes to pass. Until Jesus, this is temporary. So I just want you to know sometimes your challenge, what you're going through, you might see it as forever. But in covenant with God, it was only meant to be temporary. That's why the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The morning is the rising of the sun. There's a covenant promise. God says, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this. And I'm not going to put it in the hand of man this time. I'm going to do it myself. So there was a covenant with Adam, and there was a sign. The sign was the coat of skins. That's why this coat of skin, this flesh that I wear, I see it and I recognize it, but it points me back to the need of God. Because I am too weak within my own flesh to accomplish the perfect will of God. I need God. So my sign always points me back to the covenant. He's going to redeem me. God's going to be able to do this. He's bigger than the problem. He's the one that makes a way out of no way. He's going to redeem me. This is temporary. God is able. So even with Adam, there was hope. All right. Some of you heard me. Genesis 9 through 17. And I, behold, establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of my covenant. You want to know what the sign of the token was? And this is the token of my covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between me and who? And the earth. So everything in the earth. God made a promise. When he flooded the earth, he made a promise with all those that entered into the ark. Whoever comes out of this and whatever comes out of this will never have to worry about that again. And I will set a perpetual everlasting sign that I will never flood with water the earth again. So when it starts to rain, you don't have to worry. Mankind is doomed because it's raining. So the rain can now be a blessing to your harvest and not a fearful sign of your judgment. But it's amazing that God would put a covenant promise to those who believed and trusted in him, heard him, and entered into the ark. Everything that went in the ark and came out had a covenant with God. And everything that came out of it was going to be blessed under this covenant to know that you don't have to worry about judgment the way that those that got swept away in the flood did. So those that are in covenant need to know that the covenant is good for your everyday peace, to see the sign of God in your life, that you're not worried about judgment. You're not worried about the coming rain. And just so you know, he said, I'll no longer flood it with water. The next time it's fire. When God comes back in judgment, fire is going to be coming out of his words and out of his eyes and out of his mouth. And it says that he is going to come bring his word to bring judgment. But for us that are already in his word is our covenant. We're in covenant with God. So it's going to bless us. We have a sign to not worry about judgment, but to be able to celebrate. The covenant's good. But isn't it funny how they take the same rainbow and the flesh will take it and try to say, we're taking the rainbow to be our sign and our symbol to do whatever we want, regardless of how you made us. It's a scary thing to try to take a sign of God's covenant and make a new one. I send this out there. The rainbow belongs to God. That was a mistake. But it was a mistake that fits Scripture. It says they ensnare themselves with their own folly. They ensnare themselves with their own freedom. So that's a good covenant. Are you worried about judgment? If he busts through the clouds, do you celebrate or hide? I hear what you're saying, but he's coming with fire. I'm telling you, it's going to be a grand stage. It's going to be some type of entrance. And the scripture says, if you don't think you're in covenant with him, he's coming like a thief. When an hour, you're not ready. And if you're not ready, he's going to scare you. Are you ready? Then you need to know you're ready. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Now, don't lie. Don't lie to your neighbor. That's one of the commandments. Don't break the commandments. Come on. That's two. Let's go to a third covenant. Let's go to Abraham, shall we? Genesis chapter 17. We just keep moving down the line. Ah, man, I guess I got to read 1 through 14, but we got to do it quick. You guys are taking my time. Let's do it. 17, 1 through 14. We'll do it quickly. I'll read it on the screen so you can look at it with me. Abraham was in covenant with God. Just say it. So, Adam was a father. He was the father of all humans. Noah was a father. He was the father of all humans after the flood. Abraham is a father. He's the father of all who are in faith. These covenants are something with a father. What's going on here? I see a principle. So we start with verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, man, he was old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Can you imagine that? You ever heard people say, I'm not perfect. I want you to know the born again you is perfect. And you're still learning how to be perfect, even though you're, this old nature is still trying to tug at you and tell you you're not. Your born again spirit, your inner man is perfect. Learning to live by your born again man is the challenge you're facing. That's why the Bible says the only fight you're fighting is the good fight of faith. To learn to live by the word and life of God in spirit and truth. That's the battle. Walk before me perfect, and I will make my covenant. Here we go. Between me and thee. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Praise the Lord. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I just want you to know, so far, every time you go back and hear one of these new covenants since Adam, God always starts to put him back in the place of what Adam was originally intended to do. God starts bringing them back to purpose. The covenant reconnects them to purpose. The covenant reconnects them to the purpose of why you were born. Why was I created? Why was I made? Being in covenant with God brings you back to purpose. So if you're going to have purpose as a father of many nations, then you're going to have to be fruitful and exceeding fruitful. Jesus put it like this, I've only come that you might have life and that you might have it exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee and kings shall come out of thee. Let's just keep going. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant. Say everlasting covenant. How long does that last? Is that going on right now? Are you part of it? How? Talk to me. There's a sign coming up he's about to give for Abraham and his seed, and I want you to tell me how you're connected to it. There's a sign to know for sure. Remember, oh, girl, leave him alone. He got a ring. There's a sign for Abraham. What is your sign? If this is an everlasting covenant, are you in it? You need to know it. What is the covenant? You're supposed to be exceedingly fruitful. You're supposed to be part of great nations. You're supposed to be the part of those that are blessed. You're supposed to be part of those that are going to be a blessing to every family of the earth. You're part of the heritage of God's purpose. You're about your Father's business. You're in a covenant with God. And it's not about a wage. It's about inheritance. So you're not in covenant to work for God for a wage, but you're in covenant to work as a son or a daughter. All right, let's keep going. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land where thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Praise the Lord. That's why if you don't know too much about what's going on in Israel, don't talk too much politics about Israel unless you understand the covenant. Well, they should just go ahead and do this and give this land back, or they should do this. If you are the protector of a covenant, of a land that God told you to not give back, it's his. And you are going to be the great nation that he raises up in. Be careful that other nations pressure you to break the covenant. I don't care what pressure comes against you, you don't break covenant with God. I don't care who leaves you or talks about you, you do what God said. Have you counted that cost? He said, listen, if you don't hate mother, father, sister, brother, friend, anybody, including yourself, for my sake, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be in covenant with me because it's going to cost you all of your life. But trust me, I'll give you a new one. We keep reading. Keep my covenants, therefore. Someone said, keep my covenant. How do you do it? Do you guys know how to keep his covenant? Are you doing it? Because when he breaks in through the cloud, it's the covenant. Legal binding. Signed, sealed, delivered. It belongs to you. The promise of the covenant belongs to you if you're in covenant. So he says, keep my covenant. How do I keep his covenant? How do I keep my covenant with my wife? Talk to me. Come on. How do I keep my covenant with my wife? Keep my vows? Faith? I need faith. It's true. What is it? Communication? Trust? Intimacy? My wife said flowers help. Right? How do you stay in covenant? There is a commitment to my covenant with my God, just like there's commitment to my covenant with my wife. Now, we all understand if Brandon Lee Rainwater goes out of the covenant and finds himself some ladies smoking outside of an establishment to enter into something I shouldn't, she has the legal right before God to get out of this covenant. And God will say, sure, bless, absolutely, you can get out of it. Keep my covenant and thy seed after thee in their generation. Who here is a child of Abraham? You know why you're a child of Abraham? Because you're, by faith, the keeper of the covenant he had. What was the sign? Let's drop down to, what is it, verse 17? And then Abraham fell on his face. Did I take you to the wrong one? 14, I'm sorry. Go back 3. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So circumcision was the sign for Abraham's covenant with God. And just so you know, it's interesting that God chose the eighth day for circumcision. You know that? It was God's wisdom and choosing. It comes from Scripture that did you know that today, if they circumcise a male child, they do it on the eighth day? Why do they do it on the eighth day? Because scientifically they found out, as far as the blood and the flow and the pain, the eighth day is the perfect day to do it. So for how many thousands and thousands of years, if you're going to do that, God said to do it on this day, and it's the perfect time. God's timing is perfect. Trust His timing. Trust His timing. But here's what I want you to know. All of these covenants are connected. Do you remember the covenant of the coat of skins? To be temporary until you enter into the covenant where the seed of the woman comes to redeem what was lost. You remember that? And so they were wearing this dead skin. And so now God says, now, humans, I am going to give you the ability, and the part of you in which your seed is released is going to be cut away from the old thing and the curse. And now your seed shall be able to bring blessing. And so there was circumcision of the part of a man which his seed sows. Otherwise, every one of his seeds, just like Adam, would only produce the same thing. I was telling my son on the way to church today, son, I want you to understand, when I correct you in things, I'm not trying to call you a bad person. You have to understand that. The Scripture says, careful fathers that you don't provoke your children when you correct them. There's a way to provoke them. And I need him to understand that what he's dealing with, I don't want him to fall into a depression that he's just a bad person. What I want him to understand is the struggle between his flesh and his born-again spirit. And I want him to learn to choose the power of his born-again spirit over the weakness of his flesh. And so I told him, son, you do not have to teach any person born in the flesh how to be bad. You only have to teach humans born in the flesh how to be good. You don't have to teach the baby to smack the other kid for the car toy. You don't have to teach the baby to fall down, kick, and scream. They do that automatically. What you have to teach them is to share. What you have to teach them is to get up and don't make a scene in the store. You have to teach them, don't steal that. You have to teach them. Why? Because they don't have to learn what's already ingrained. And so within our flesh, it will always battle the covenant. So God put a sign in the flesh to say, your power and limitations are no longer going to be in the way of the covenant I'm making with you. Thank the Lord that, listen, the covenant isn't requiring my flesh to accomplish it. But God is going to cut that part away and give me strength with this new covenant that he's bringing to my life. So circumcision, just so you know, now Scripture says that we, as Abraham's children, and the Bible says anybody who has faith in God like Abraham is one of his children. And so I have faith like Abraham. Do you have faith like Abraham? Then you're one of his children. But if you're one of his children, there's supposed to be a sign. Is everybody circumcised, or do we need to check that to find out if you be one of Abraham's children? No, because there's a new circumcision, not made with hands by man, but made with God. And it is one of the heart. Now circumcision in this day is one of the heart, and I could show you where it is, but my time is short. If you want to reference it, you'd go to Romans 4:11. We have another Moses, Exodus 31:13. How am I doing? Is everybody understanding covenant? What is a covenant? A promise, contract, commitment, agreement, legally binding, contract. You know, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. And if this comes down your street, open the door. Ladies, no ring, no thing. And if they say, if you love me, you'll do it. Say, I see the devil. You see him? You see him in there? You see the covenant breaker? You see him? You see what he's doing? You see the thief? I see a thief. You see him? I recognize the thief. Ladies, don't do it. As of today, don't do it. If they get mad, send them to me. Send them to me, I mean it. And I dare the first guy to walk up. Because you're not fighting me. I'm just a man. But I represent one who created the stars. I don't care what pressure. That's a strong word. But it's a good one. Exodus 31:13, can we go there? Okay, we can. Two of you want to read it. Let's do it. Kathy, I'm going to read it for you. Exodus 31:13, is that right? Exodus 31:13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign. Someone say, between me and thee and throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. So there was a promise with the law to keep through Moses, to keep God's people, still waiting on the seed of the woman. Still waiting on the seed of the woman. Still waiting for the Messiah to come through and have strength over flesh. Still waiting on him. And so God gave the law to help keep our mind focused on the covenant and the direction of the promise of the covenant way back with Adam. I'm going to send my own help for you. And it's not going to be left up to the flesh. It's going to be by my spirit. But I'm going to appear in the flesh. I'll be born of a woman, but by the seed of God. So the Sabbath is the covenant sign for all those that were under the care of the covenant of Moses. And so if you were with Moses, and you wanted to find out, are you with Moses? All you have to check to see is who are those that honor the Sabbath. And that was the sign. The Sabbath is the day of rest. For God created the world in how many days? 6 days, and rested on the last day, he Sabbath. And now God is inviting us into a covenant to enter into his rest. That's why Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said it like this: it is finished. Now, whoever comes into Christ enters into the Sabbath of Jesus Christ. He has done the work. Now enter into his rest. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is good stuff for me. New Testament. Shall we go to Jesus now? So far, we've gone over Adam, Noah, Abraham, and Moses. And now I'm going to enter in with Jesus, King Jesus. Let's go to Mark 14:24. I'm looking at that clock, making sure that we're time. It's a beautiful day. I want you to go enjoy it, but I want you to go enjoy it in covenant. So bear with me. Mark 14:24. And he said unto them, this is my blood of my New Testament, which is shed for many. You remember when they took communion? Jesus said, this is my blood. This is the New Testament. This is the new covenant. This is the new promise. And this new promise incorporates all of the other ones. I'm going to seal the deal. I'm going to handle the weakness of flesh. I'm going to handle the fear of judgment. I'm going to handle the life of being blessed and not cursed. I'm going to handle the rules and laws in which I want you to follow. And I'm going to handle it all in one new covenant. All of these other covenants will be in this new one. And this will be the last covenant. So, you remember what I said about my wife needing to wait till I die if she wants to marry someone else, or, and don't kill me, but I want to say it publicly, if I pass, she has the freedom. I'm not going to try to put her in bondage from the grave. Promise me you'll never marry another. I'm dead. What kind of power am I trying to have as a dead man? Tell her what to do. And even if I say it, you don't have to listen to me. I'm dead. If you really love me, till death do us part, honey. I've heard weird controlling things. Sometimes you say stuff, and it sounds like it's just a joke, but at some point it's come up. That's why you say it. So God is going to do something new, and it's by the blood of Jesus. So Jesus is the one who God promised to bring reconciliation with God and man. He's the seed of the woman. And through the pain of her curse, she was also able to deliver deliverance. Mary, did you know that this baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that this baby boy, through what seemed like her curse, so just so you know, sometimes in your struggle, it will bring you back to your purpose. Sometimes in your struggle, it will bring you back to your purpose. You're struggling? Well, the covenant of God will bring you to the purpose of that struggle. Did I say it clear enough yet? I don't want to be one of those dancing preachers that tries to just tickle your ear. I want to make it clear. Is it plain? I don't want you to have a question when you leave. Don't worry, you're so close to being done. This is like in football, fourth quarter comes around, the guys take off their helmets and they go like this. And they all raise their hand. Why? Because every good coach will teach you the game is won in the fourth quarter. What I'm saying is there's only 15 minutes left. This whole sermon is going to be found in these last 15 minutes. So whatever you have to do, I don't care how tired you are. This is a football reference. You mount up like soldiers, and you take this game. All right? So give it to me. Let me see the sign. It's fourth quarter. All right. There we are. Just quick shout out to the Seahawks. If you get a chance, Google Tyler Lockett. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Tyler Lockett, a receiver. Second year, sophomore sensation, put out a video in his spare time, off season. I just saw it recently, and he's talking about how bad do you really want it, and that's whatever your purpose is, it's in God, but you're going to have to go for it. So if you get a chance, I just want you to hear one of the people we love to clap for doing something great. I want to clap for him doing something great. And that he had a great message. It's good to get to know people. The Bible says, no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. But we love to praise people after the flesh. If they look good, if they sing good, if they built an empire that's worth a lot of money, and we love to worship things that seem honorable on the earth. But God says, listen, you only worship one God. Don't have idols. Matter of fact, as I'm saying that, I was eating at a restaurant yesterday, and I put my teeth into something that tastes so good. And as I was eating it, I found myself a new little spot. And when I was leaving, God told me to, he asked me the question, what does that name mean? The name of the place. I couldn't answer it, so I went to, what do we do when we don't know something? Excuse me, Google, could you tell me, what is, and the name of the place means the God of war, the God of poetry, and the God of, I think, music or something. And as good as it tasted, that was my last bite. I'm not going to say the name because I'm not trying to bring conviction to anybody for, you know, but that's what God gave me. That's what God gave me. God's mindful of everything we do. And he says, no one else gets my glory. You can only have one Lord. And I went and was eating the food of another God. Oh, sometimes it tastes good though, you know? Sin seems fun. Pastor, would you go ahead and preach this last 13 minutes now that you used two? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Are you in covenant? What do you get in the covenant? What were your vows? What's your vow? And then what's God's vow? And then what's the sign? And then how long does it last? And then how do you know if you're in it today? It's clear. It was never meant to be a mystery. You know the scripture when Jesus says, in the last day, many are going to come to me saying, Lord, in your name, I did this and I did that. And talk about our resume of things we felt like he should really like. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. What he's saying is, in the old days, when they said that a man knew his wife, what did that mean? That they entered into sexual relations. That means that they put their covenant together in intimacy where the two became one. I knew you. Adam knew his wife and they had children. And so Jesus said, I never knew you. You did all these things, but I never knew you. Did you know that if a marriage isn't consummated, you can get out of it? So let's go to Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were, someone say it, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest money, remember that contract? This is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What this is saying, in Christ Jesus, who you have now heard about through the preaching of the gospel, for faith comes by hearing, and how can you hear without a preacher, and how can one preach unless they're sent by God? So this is not the work or the covenant establishment of a man, but this is the covenant establishment of God. And so God sends those that he will have bring his words of covenant to you so that you can know what the covenant is. And if you believe and receive, you can confess and you can sign the document. And when you do, he will give you earnest money to prove that when he comes back, he's coming back to complete the transaction and you are in covenant with him. It's a promise. It is a seal. In the old days, they used to give people rings, and the king would have a ring called a signet ring, and it was his seal. And they would use the wax, and he would write a letter, and he would say, give this ship going to port so-and-so this many cedars from Lebanon to take with them to deliver here. And then he would seal it with his ring, and it would stay sealed until it got delivered to where it was going. And then the person opening it would know that it was authentic because it was the seal of that king. And whatever the note said, whoever was holding the note was standing in the authority of the one who signed it. So even if you didn't like me, if the king sealed it, you're going to give me trees from Lebanon. Why? Because the king sealed it. And so I want you to know that God puts a seal on the covenant of his children. He puts a seal on it. And you don't get to come into covenant by first wearing a coat of flesh and hiding from God. You don't get it by just looking up in the sky and recognizing that God made all things. You don't get this covenant just by getting circumcised and saying that you did a mark in your flesh. You don't get this by just resting on one day a week. But you get it when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you trust and believe. The Bible says, if you want to be saved, if you hear the gospel and you believe it, if you believe it in your heart and confess out of your mouth, that is your free will signature onto the covenant. And he says, and you shall be saved. And so nobody in the world or worlds to come get saved without believing in their heart everything concerning Jesus Christ and confessing out of their mouth Him and Him alone, Lord. And when you do that, He says that He will give you a sign or a sealed, promised, earnest deal, and you can know for sure when He comes back, everything that He gave you in His promised word shall be yours forever. So what are we sealed with? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the sign of the new covenant. It is no longer a fleshly deal. You know, praise the Lord for the law of Moses because it directed us to God. But Scripture says that the weakness of the law was the weakness of our flesh. Because you needed your flesh to try to be good like God. And as hard as you tried, eventually you'll fail. So praise the Lord that the seal for eternity now is not the weakness of my flesh. So therefore, if I make a mistake, the Bible says, He who is just and confesses his sins, the blood of Jesus washes me from all unrighteousness. So I don't have to worry about the devil saying, you're going to make one mistake and you're going to break the covenant and you're going to hell. You know, the Bible says He is the accuser of the brethren, which means He's always trying to put you with Him in hell. And so He always brings legal case against you. But I want you to know, how did you get saved in the first place? By being perfect? No, but by recognizing His perfection and confessing Him, Lord and Savior, and every word He spoke is true, right? So what do you do when the devil's accusing you? You go back to how you got saved in the first place. And you confess Him, Lord and Savior. You put down the thoughts and feelings and emotions of your flesh, and you look to the sign of your guarantee, which is the Holy Spirit in your life, and you now walk by Spirit and not by flesh, which means I'm being led by a strength that didn't come from man, but it was given to me as a gift from God, and it is my money, it's my part of my inheritance, knowing that the rest is coming for sure. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want to see another place real quick? Pastor, you see the clock? I do. 4:30. Let's stay in this book, but go to chapter 4, verse 30. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you got to get it out. I've seen people getting prayed for, and they believe that they were getting prayed for one thing. This is what I need from God. But they vomited out a demonic spirit. And they didn't even know that was their problem. They thought their problem was something else, something in their flesh. But it was actually something of the Spirit. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit sign and seal of our inheritance doesn't just help us to feel better in our flesh, but it's the authority over every spirit, every foul and demonic spirit, every haunting and cursing, every spirit of bondage and lying and oppression and depression. I don't want God just to say He's coming one day, one glad morning when this life is over. I want the inheritance portion now to help me in today's needs. And it's only the Spirit that can do it. It's only the Spirit that can do it. And He said, whereunto shall we liken? No, somehow you went to Mark. I was still in Ephesians. 4:30. What's your sign? Tell me about your ring. Tell me about your sign. The Holy Spirit. I'm gone. I'm no longer my own. I'm not free to do that. No. Mm-mm. Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Don't mess up my favor. I already found my favor. I don't need any other favors. So now that I got a sign from God to be in covenant with Him, that gives me a lifestyle of freedom. It gives me a lifestyle of promise. It gives me the promise of everlasting life. Why would I grieve this seal? Scripture says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, that would be like the king. I was supposed to die, and they're going to kill me today. But God gives me, or the king gives me a letter that says, we're going to let him off. He's free. And sealed it. And I was supposed to deliver this to those that were going to hang me. But, you know, I'm a little disorganized, and I put the letter somewhere. I just don't remember where I put it. And now they're trying to take me to the gallows, and I'm trying to tell them, but no, I'm okay. I'm good. The king said, and they said, prove it. But I couldn't find my sealed letter. Why would I grieve? How much would I value that letter? How much would I value the letter? With my life. Do you value your seal? With your life. Brethren, I beseech you to present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. My kids got some Christmas money, lost it. They didn't get it back. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but learn to be in harmony with Him. For every day you wake up, you can say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And He's a God that will talk to you. He will lead and guide you. He will take you out of the ways of sickness and disease and death and hurt. He will bring you into covenant and purpose. He will empower you to do what you couldn't do alone. He will make sure you know you're in direct contact with things above. He is the God that walks with us. I'm telling you, He is a covenant God. So would you close your eyes with me, Father, in the name of Jesus? I just thank you that those that heard the gospel and this word, Lord, if they believe in their heart, let them just at this moment confess that you are Lord and Savior. And Lord, if they have sinned, I pray over them. And I thank you, you said, those who are just and confess their sins, that the blood of Jesus of this New Testament will wash them clean from all unrighteousness, removing any letter of accusation that you would receive. And you said you throw in a sea of forgetfulness. We thank you that that's part of this covenant. And Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, do we stand in freedom today? And so we thank you for being a God who we are engaged with, engaged in life, engaged in hope, and engaged in expectation. We give you praise today, for this is the day you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. If you believe that, just say, amen. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, let's be covenant friends. Let's be covenant friends. God bless you.